Good evening, everyone, and welcome this evening. We'll call our meeting to order at 6 p.m. And before we get into a council business, I respectfully ask for a moment of silence to honor the life and memory of Drew Tyler Nickerson, who lived in the municipality of Shelburne and who tragically passed away on January 5th. Thank you. We extend our deepest condolences to all who are grieving during this extremely difficult time. We'll move on now to number two, approval of the agenda for January 14th, 2026.
I motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you. Is there a seconder?
I'll second it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Next item is the acceptance of minutes. We have two sets of minutes, December 10th, 2025. Are there any changes required to these minutes? Hearing none, we'll accept those as received. And the next set of minutes are for December 18th, 2025. Are there any changes required to these minutes? Hearing none, we'll accept those minutes as received as well. Moving on to business arising from the minutes. Anything to come before council this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to presentation. I'm not sure if our presenter was going to be presenting in person this evening or online.
It was my understanding that she was coming in person.
Okay. All right. I don't see anyone here yet, so we'll move on to six, operations and protective services. First item is the area rate options for Town of Shelburne Fire Hub 2026-27. And that's Ms. Dion. Welcome.
Good evening. So this staff report is in relation to Council's decision to pay for the municipality's portion of the 2025 dependable Spartan fire truck, which was purchased by the Town of Shelburne. And we're going to pay for that by way of area rate. So the way that we calculate this as per our agreement is that the amount of funds that we need to pay for the truck, we look at the taxable assessment for the service area. That taxable assessment has been determined to be $212,889,500. With that assessment in mind, in order to pay back that fire truck payment over a five-year period, it would result in us having a 0.039 area rate added for the period of 5 years. Or alternatively, for the period of 10 years, we could have an area rate of 0.0195. So in the staff report, it identifies what this would be reflected on a $100,000 tax bill. So for every $100,000 of taxable assessed property, if you choose the five-year area rate, it would be $39. And if you choose the 10-year area rate, it would be $19.50 for every $100,000 of assessment. There's a few things that it's important to note. One, the current replacement schedule for trucks within the department that we have at our disposal today, if you choose an area rate more than 5 years, you may end up in the situation where there are duplicated area rates, as in you'd be still paying for one truck while you were starting to pay for another. That's one of the reasons that staff has recommended the five-year area rate. But also, it's important to note that taxable assessment in an area can change. It's an ever-changing number that changes every time the assessment roll is updated. So the number that's used in this report reflects the most recent data, but any deletions, so any demolitions, any new constructions or any assessment appeals, that sort of thing, they can all result in a change to the assessed value. So to the best of our knowledge, this number, this 0.0390, is the fire area rate, which will result in us making this repayment within 5 years. Again, subject to change. So it could be paid off faster, or it may be a little bit slower, depending on that assessment.
Exactly. Great. Thank you for that. There is a prepared motion. Or did you have
one final thing? Mm-hmm. As per our policy, once this is approved, we would be communicating this to our residents with a letter. Under our fire services agreement, it does not require a vote, but it does require us to communicate that information to residents. So a letter to residents would be going out. So sorry, before you make the motion, yeah, I just wanted to clarify with that.
That's great. Thank you. There is a prepared motion if someone would like to make that. Councillor Gordon,
Motion area rate for the town of Shelburne Fire Truck 2627. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne approve an area rate for the 2025 dependable Spartan fire truck purchased by the town of Shelburne in the amount of 0.0390 per $100 of tax assessment, which is 3.9 cents, for a term of 5 years. And that the area rate be applied beginning on the 2026-27 tax bills for eligible municipal properties in the town of Shelburne's fire district service area. And that the information letter be sent to residents of the service area detailing the need for the expenditure, the amount of the expenditure, and the area rate and term.
Thank you. Is there a seconder?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. A discussion on the motion. Councillor Richardson.
The main question, it differs from our policy on other departments in the municipality.
Our municipal departments fall under our municipal fire department policy. We have two independent contracts with both the town of Lockport and the town of Shelburne for the fire area within the municipality that their department service.
I guess what I was looking for is, I'm not mistaken, I think when Lockport was looking for a new truck, they consulted their residents.
Lockport has a different agreement than the town of Shelburne.
That's what I was wanting to draw out. And also that they are scheduled in on a 5-year term for replacement. We have municipal departments that are not under the same regime. In fact, a lot of them are operating with out-of-date equipment. I just want to highlight the fact that review is really neat.
Okay, I just didn't know if the CIO wanted to respond to that or if you wanted me to respond to that, because we do have a response, but I'll let Warren speak.
Okay, CIO, did you wish to respond?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Thank you, Warden. So we've hired Jed Bell now as our Administrative Protective Services. So Jen is going to be going through the entire evaluation of all the services to try and identify how we're going to improve our services. So the concept is, what is the ideal fire service and how do we get from here to there? It's going to include looking at funding, it's going to include looking at training, it's going to include looking at equipment, service areas, everything. I've asked Jen to come up with a plan on how she's going to get from here to there. And so she's going to be working on that over the next 6 months. At the point where Jen feels comfortable that she's got a plan and that she's got all the chiefs on board with the plan, then she'll kind of present that plan to council. And it'll include what I just mentioned and all the other things that I've forgotten or haven't mentioned that Jen will know about and would want to tell you about. So I just ask the council's patience on this one. It's going to take a little bit of time. Jen's drinking through the fire hose right now, and it's going to take some time. But we have got the best person in Southwest Nova Scotia to do the job, and I'm confident we're gonna have an amazing fire service when Jen gets her teeth sucked into it.
Thank you for that. And that's exactly why I wanted to highlight for the public. In this instance, it was predetermined agreement we had. Certainly not speaking against it, probably need it. It's just a matter of fact that we do have to go forward with this review and level the playing field, so to speak. So thank you for that.
Okay, thank you for that. And just to Councillor Richardson's point, so we're actually, this recommendation, of course, is in accordance with the policy that is currently in place with the town of Shelburne.
That is correct.
Okay.
And it's to replace a purchase that we've made in the prior year.
Right. I may have missed it, and I apologize if I did, but what was the total cost of the purchase?
I'd have to refer to the original agreement, but our portion was $415,000 and $285,000, I believe it was. $415,285.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious if that's like 40% of the cost or 60% of the cost.
It's 50% of the cost.
It is 50%. Okay,
yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you for that.
There was some question around HST,
sure,
who gets it back and that sort of thing, but it's 50% of the cost.
Okay, thank you for that. Deputy Warden and then Councillor Thorburn are going.
The only question I have is, and they service most of my district, so I understand this, but the truck that this will be replacing, is it an option that it might be?
It was already sold and it was reflected in the percent in the amount that we paid.
Okay. That was
it came off the purchase price,
okay,
of the truck before we paid our share.
Okay.
Okay, great. Great clarification questions. Thank you for that. Councillor Thorburn.
And to the same thing perhaps as it relates to what the deputy warden asked, and it's more a matter for the public. What area do we in the municipality, what is our area that the Shelburne Fire Department services? I know it certainly services District 3.
Right. So the fire service areas, there's a mapping system that shows you which areas is serviced by each fire department. Obviously, the town fire department services the town, but the areas that they service outside of town include a certain distance out the Ohio Road, Sandy Point Loop, this end of town, Woodlawn Drive,
Birchtown.
Essentially, until they abut the neighboring pop. The neighboring fire unit.
Okay, I just have one more comment.
Sure.
And it's not an observation by myself, but it is an observation by someone that's close to me who's a fire chief. And so he said, you know, we all love that 50-50 draw, right? That fireman's 50-50 draw, it's absolutely amazing. And he said to me, that is the holy grail of not addressing fire costs containment. And so to that end, we do look forward to Jen and the excellent analysis and review that she's going to give us. That's really positive.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
I can't wait as well.
Any other questions or comments? Councillor Kuhl, did you have anything to add?
No.
No? Okay. Hearing nothing further, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Next item is the EV and solar update.
Before we move on to the EV and solar, since we do have Jen here today, this is a little bit impromptu, but perhaps we could introduce her to council.
Absolutely.
Jen Bell. Jen is our new Administrator of Protective Services. I know she's very qualified just in the few days that we've been here and in working together and doing the changeover, but I'm going to allow her to tell you a little bit about her qualifications because I don't want to misrepresent anything, so.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jen, you just don't want to mind saying hello and introducing yourself.
Welcome, Jen.
Good evening, councillors, warden, deputy warden. It's my absolute pleasure to be here and in this position. As I was so graciously introduced by the CAO, thank you. It's a much needed position that has now been filled, and it is my absolute pleasure to be the one that was chosen to do this. My background includes fire service administration at a chief's level. It also includes a long history of fire service instruction, working with the public through fire prevention, working in outreach situations, but most importantly, working towards a safer fire service with a background, a strong background in occupational health and safety. So I have experience in career, volunteer, industrial, but also working with municipal units. And I look forward to working on a plan, but most importantly, working with the chiefs, working with the residents, and discovering how we can take what we have and improve upon that and give our residents the best fire service and emergency response that we can. So thank you for this opportunity, and I look forward to serving you and serving with you.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. And I don't know, Jen, have you been introduced to everyone around the table here? Should we do some introductions?
I'm missing a couple introductions, so okay. If you'd like to go around, that would be lovely. Thanks.
Okay, so we've met, of course. Yeah. I'm Penny, the warden for the municipality and representing District Number 2. So my area includes from Roseway through to Reeds Hill.
I'm Dale Richardson in District 7. Represent from County Line, Mill Village, or not Mill Village, Granite Village, through to Lockport, and I also am a member of the fire commission.
Hi. My name is Sherry Thorpe in Irvine, and I represent District 3. District 3, and so that's the majority of Sandy Point, two-thirds down the peninsula, and then Councillor Wagner takes over from there on her side.
I'm Heidi Wagner, District 5, Deputy Warden. My area is your old growing up space, so I'm from East Jordan, Jordan Branch, Jordan Ferry, Jordan Bay. And welcome. We're glad you're here.
I know you know me, Jen. I knew you when you were a volunteer. Yes. First started this all in your life history. Thank you for taking this job on. It's not going to be an easy one. And I cover Clyde River, Beaver Dam, Roseway, and Ingemar, almost close to Roseway. I cut off at any spot,
yes.
District 1.
Yes. And Councillor Poole?
You can't hear him. We're having audio difficulties, sorry.
Okay. Yes, so Councillor Rob Poole is the councillor for District 6. And his area, that's the Councillor Richardson. So his is West Green Harbor, East Green Harbor, Allendale.
No.
But no, that's in District 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then he brought that to me.
Yes, to District 5 and District 7. So.
Well, again, my sincere pleasure to see some of you again that I haven't seen in a long time, but most importantly, to introduce myself and meet you, those of you that are new to this, and new to me, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So again, welcome and welcome home.
Welcome home, yes. Thank you. It's been the warmest welcome yet.
Wonderful.
And I will say that I've served a long time in the fire service and become highly recommended. So welcome.
That's very humbling coming from you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks again. All right, Ms. Dion, did we want to, I believe, our presenter with us now.
Would you like me to finish what I have before the presenter, or would you like me to come back to my report after?
We have a couple
after?
More with you, so perhaps we'll go back to our presenter and then go back to Operations and Protective Services, if that works for you.
That's okay, yeah.
Okay. All right, welcome.
I had the wrong job. You were sitting at Tim's room.
Oh, that's okay. Welcome. And you must be...
I'm Yolanda Donaldson. Yes.
Donaldson, welcome.
I think maybe rather than set the tripod, the easel, I'll just set it up here.
Sure.
On the chair, I think. You probably see it. You may not be able to see it.
Whatever works for you there. Yes. We might need
I can set it right there in the front.
Yes.
Thank you.
And were you traveling down today?
Yes, from Quinnen, so it's about
Oh, from Quinnen. Okay,
so.
Our neighbors.
Yes, yes.
So welcome.
So, thank you. So, I'm Yolanda Donaldson. I'm a member of the Wedgeport Legion.
and I have been working on the project you're seeing in front of me called Remember Them. And it was initiated by one of our Korean vets. He wanted to remember those men and women who served in the Canadian forces, died as a result, and are buried abroad. He felt that around here during Remembrance Week, we can go to the cemeteries, put flags on the graves of the veterans, but we had no way to honor those that are buried away. So we focused on World War I, World War II, and the Korean War, because after that, most of them were repatriated back home. And this project is not a fundraiser. It's a remembrance project. There's not one penny that goes back to the Legion. So we decided, we came up with the picture that you see in front of us, and our goal was to put it in the schools that the Wedgeport Legion serves, which is six of them. So we decided we wanted it to have an impact. So we chose a cemetery as the focal point, because if you look at the cemeteries over in England, where all the war dead are, it goes for miles. And we just wanted the kids to see that. So we chose the cemetery Benny-sur-Mer, which is in Rivière, just in France, just 5 kilometers inland from Juneau Beach. In this cemetery, there are 2,049 graves. 2,044 are Canadian, mainly from the 3rd Canadian Division during D-Day and the first stages of the Battle of Normandy. And this cemetery is one out of 23,000 war cemeteries or war memorials in 150 countries around the world. So that's a huge impact. We also wanted it to be national to Canada, so we added the maple leaves and the poppy and the words Remember Them to make sure they never forget. So in the border, you will see there are pictures of war dead. These pictures that you see there are all war dead from Shelburne County. The reason that they are circular in shape, excuse me, is that they represent the dead man's penny, and the dead man's penny was a memorial plaque that was given to the families who lost someone while serving under the British or the British Empire during World War I. And it just looks like a big, huge penny, 4.5 inches wide, about 1/4 inch thick, copper in color. It has the words "In honor we serve," the name of the war dead, and some British insignia. This is just a little snippet I'm going to give you of the war dead that are here. With this picture comes a full detailed package of information on all of those people, but I just want to give you a brief outline of them. So the first one, I'm looking at the top row, first to, I'm not sure if the right or the left, but anyway, it's Ephraim Eugene Newell. He's a World War II, a Canadian Merchant Navy from the SS Lady Hawkins. He was born in Newellton. The Lady Hawkins was torpedoed on January 19, 1942 by U-boat 66 and sank off the Cape Hatteras, South Carolina. In this attack, the master, 86 crew members, one gunner, and 163 passengers were lost, including Ephraim Newell. He was 24. His name is in Halifax, Point Pleasant Park, on the memorial there. The next one over is Winslow Earl Oikle, World War II. He was a corporal in the Army with the 1st Canadian Parachute Battalion. He's from Clan Point. His platoon was ordered to conduct a direct assault on the trench position, but when they jumped, he and another lieutenant with him and their ammunitions were separated. So they only had Piat guns, and they fired, which was short, landed short. The enemy retaliated, and the bombs landed on the rest of their Piat bombs, which blew them. They were never recovered. However, with the remains that belonged to Corporal Oikle, was a New Testament and a prayer book that was given to his family. His body was never recovered. He was 22. His name is on Bayeux Memorial in Normandy, France.
The third one over is Charles Glenwood Bower, World War II. He was a trooper in the 4th Reconnaissance Regiment, as well as the 4th Princess Louise Dragoons from Bathborough, Nova Scotia. He died of multiple mortar wounds received in combat on January 23, 1944. He was originally interred in a British cemetery near Vasto, Italy, but was later transferred to Morro River, Canadian War Cemetery. He was 23. Craig Henry Goulden, World War II. He was a private with the North Shore New Brunswick Regiment, born in Gunning Cove. He went overseas to the UK in March of 1944 and disembarked in France later in June, and was killed in action on January 8, 1945, while serving with the North Shore New Brunswick Regiment. He is buried in Grosbeek Canadian War Cemetery in Belgium, and he was 25. The first column down to your left, is William Daniel Demolitor, World War II. He was a flight sergeant with the 419th Squadron, Royal Air Force, Canadian Air Force, born in Jordan Falls. And on the night of August the 9th, 1943, he was an air gunner on Halifax JD-257 that failed to return from operations. It was determined the aircraft had crashed near Mutterstadt, Germany, and the bodies were recovered. He was identified and is buried in Durnbrath War Cemetery. Prior to this event, he had completed 8 operations against the enemy, including 6 trips to the heavily defended Roar Valley. He was 21. The next one down would be Ernest Lester Dixon, World War I. He's a private with the Canadian Machine Gun Corps, the 12th Machine Gun Company. He was born in Lower Woods Harbor. And on November 22, 1916, he was hit by enemy shell splinter while on sentry duty in a trench near Death Valley in the Somme, which is where he died. He is buried in Bapaume Post-Military Cemetery in France. He was 19. I think he actually lied of his age to be so young to get in. And the last one in that column is William St. Clair Huskilson, World War II. He was a flying officer with the Royal Canadian Air Force, Squadron 415, born in Lockport. He served as an air gunner, and the crew completed the bombing mission on the return journey. However, half hour from the target, the plane was hit with anti-aircraft fire, and 2 members managed to parachute, but the remainder died. The ones that parachuted were taken prisoners of war. The remains of the crew, of those who lost their lives, were buried in Rheinberg War Cemetery in Germany. He was 21. Lloyd Mitchell Acker, World War II. He was a private with the Royal Hamilton Light Infantry, born in Churchover. He arrived in the United Kingdom on June 11, 1944, where he disembarked later in France, and he was killed in action on August 1, 1944. He is buried in Bretteville-sur-Lez in France. He was 19. And Coleman Atwood, World War II. He was a rifleman with the Royal Rifles of Canada, born in Riverhead. He was on patrol on a patrol party of 30 under a British officer when he was killed by enemy machine guns. He is in Saigon Memorial in Victoria, Hong Kong. He was 20. And the last one that we have is Roger Byron Schultz, Korean War. He was a corporal in Royal Canadian Regiment, 3rd Division, from Shelburne. He was killed in action during an attack by enemy forces at Hill 187 in South Korea. He was 24. He is buried in the United Nations Cemetery in South Korea. So that's just a small snippet of what the men that are on that picture. Now, these are awarded from Shelburne. This is not the first project I worked on. I've been on this for about 2 years now. The first one was for Yarmouth County. We wanted to put them in the schools, as I said.
There is now one in every single school in Yarmouth County, including the French schools, because we had one made in French. And the schools, we found donors to donate them to the schools because we didn't want to get the schools to have to buy them. The municipality of Argyll purchased one for every single one of their community halls, as well as the municipality of the district of Yarmouth, and the town of Yarmouth purchased a few for their buildings as well. Then I worked on one for Stony Island Clan Point specifically. Mervyn Atkinson had approached me, they wanted one to put in their church. And my friend veteran, Bob Guerin, wanted to put some in the schools in Shelburne County. So I asked him to wait until I had finished the Stony Island one, and I would make a true Shelburne County to county line, and then we could come and put it in the schools. But unfortunately, he passed away in July. He did not see the Stony Island one. He did not see this one here. But I'm committed to finish his work. And there is one in every single one of your schools here in Shelburne County now. And so, and you're the last presentation that I'm doing. I've presented to the town of Clarks Harbor, town of Shelburne, town of Lockport, municipality of Barrington, and now here tonight. So my request here, being here tonight, is that you consider purchasing some of these to put in your, in this building and in your community halls, wherever people gather, because I feel it's an important thing for us to never forget, not only for the kids, but for the public. It's not something that we suggest that you bring out during Remembrance Week and put away in the closet for the remainder of the year. All the schools have them out year round. Mm-hmm. And I expect that the community centers will as well. So these are available for purchase. Like I said, there's no money that comes to us. Whatever the company charges us to print is what you pay. And if they are bought in bulk, then you can get a $25 reduction on them. So the one that you see in front of me is the large one. It's 36 inches wide by 26 inches high. That sells for $175 plus tax. And the smaller one is 22 inches by 30 inches and sells for $125. But my plan right now, I'm already getting orders from the others, and I plan to wait until I get everybody's order, put them all together so everybody will get the discount that way. And the order will come through me. I place the order when they're ready, I deliver them, and I bring you the invoice. So it's very, very simple. What they do, they print the picture, they laminate it, and they put it on the die-bond material. And that material is fire retardant, so you're able to put it on your walls here, and the fire marshal won't say anything about it. And I think that's pretty much covered everything, unless you have some questions.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you first of all for coming this evening and presenting to council. And you have served as well?
No.
This is just a project that you're dear to your heart?
It is.
Yes.
As a teacher at school, I organized the Remembrance Day services, mm-hmm. and this veteran, Bob Guerin, was my go-to person every time I needed something or wanted veterans to come in. And I just kind of I taught in Plymouth, so Wedgeport was right near. So I just got attached to them, and after I retired, I decided to join them. Here I am. But this is the most rewarding project I've ever worked on.
Well, I think it's an absolutely wonderful project, and certainly one for us to remember, you know, the people who have served,
yes.
the people who are currently serving, and those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. So thank you for being here to ensure that, you know, their memory goes on, lives
on. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to present.
Yeah, I'm going to see if there are any questions or comments from council. And I'm not sure if you were here when we did introductions. So,
no.
So we can do that very quickly as well, so that you know who you're speaking
yeah.
with. So I'm Penny Smith. I'm the warden for the municipality of Shelburne.
Yes.
And I'm the counselor for district number 2, which includes the communities from Roseway through to Reeds Hill. So when you were talking about some of these some of these gentlemen, a number of the names, of course, are very familiar. I'm from the Gunning Cove area, so
yes.
When you speak about Gunning Cove and Churchover, yep. I have an idea of who you're speaking about.
Yes. Yes.
Councillor Richardson?
Councillor Dale Richardson, District 7. the second size and price, I didn't catch.
125, I think.
But then the size is?
The size is 22 by 30.
22
by 30. Yes. But then again, if you order, I'll make sure to give you the discount. I just want everybody to be able to have this.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sherry Thorben Irvine, and I represent District 3 in Sandy Point. And thank you for your good work. It's so important. So I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
In the research that you've done, are they called attestment papers?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
Attestation.
Attestation, that's right. So did the Canadian Forces take a picture of each young man or woman?
Not necessarily. Most of my information comes from Wartime Heritage Association,
okay.
Which is a Nova Scotia website.
Oh.
And it's the war dead from Nova Scotia. Some's divided. There's some from Yarmouth County, Shelburne County, Digby County. Digby County doesn't seem to have the nice pictures that Shelburne County and Yarmouth do, but there is casualties of Nova Scotia as well, and they do World War I, World War II, and Korean War. But I also found information on the Great Canadian War Project, as well as Veterans Affairs Canada. But Veterans Affairs Canada is very limited to their information compared to Wartime Heritage Association.
They have more of a quick question.
Yeah.
So this is a, you know, a slight representation of the men that served. In the schools and in your project, do you list all the members?
No. There's only room for 10. If you're going to see them, there's only room for 10 pictures, which is what every picture that I've worked on has.
Yes.
Really, I could probably make one for Shelburne only, mm-hmm. because we made one for Clam Point, Stony Island. They went a little bit beyond their borders of those two villages.
Yeah.
But the war dead over that are buried over in Europe,
yeah.
It's amazing how many there are. So, yes, you could make one almost for every village.
Thank you again for your work.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Deputy Gordon?
Deputy Gordon, Heidi Wagner, District 5. So my area is Jordan Berry, Jordan Branch, Jordan Bay, and East Jordan, which one of your people, Jordan Falls. However, the Huskelson, my hometown, is Lockport, so
yes.
It kind of broke down in, but thank you for this. It's nice to see. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Paula Sutherland, District 1.
Yes.
That would be Clyde River to Beaver Dam, Ingram area, Harbor. Two or three years ago, my uncle commissioned monument in our own cemetery that were lost. And the Atwood name is actually from Clyde River, and his brother, this would be his brother that served.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it does, yeah.
It hits home.
I think it's a great thing that you've done. Thank you so much for your hard work.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it, you know, really resonates with all of us, and it will definitely with our communities. So, any other questions or comments at this point? So we will be back in touch about this project. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to choose something
that's okay
to keep me from coughing.
Yes.
You know, it's just so important that we never forget, that we always remember.
Yeah.
So,
I know that you have to have another meeting as a committee of the whole or whatever it is that you call it. But I will be away. I'm leaving tomorrow, and I will be away until February 3rd. But you can email me,
okay.
And when I return, I will place the order of whoever has ordered.
Okay.
So
wonderful.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and sorry for the tardiness.
No, I'm just very happy that you were able to join us.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'm going to leave a little sheet of information. I'll leave it when we go.
Thank you so much.
And safe travels back to Canada.
Thank you.
Oh,
yes.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's my only one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move back into Operations and Protective Services. 6B, the EV and solar update with Ms. Dion.
So even though it hasn't been a year, I thought that it would be a good opportunity to just update council about our EV and solar projects. So this is for information only. It's so that you guys are aware. Our systems were fully commissioned in early June with a kickoff event. I think it was on June 6th. The solar was finished a little bit earlier in May. EV only sort of complete the beginning of June. But for 6 full months worth of data, I just wanted to let everyone know that the EV chargers used approximately 2,745 kilowatt hours in this 6 month period. But what the most exciting part is that our solar power generated in that same period, or slightly longer because it was commissioned a bit earlier, 65,551.5 kilowatt hours.
Amazing.
So I just have one comment.
Yeah, oh, we'll let Ms. Dion finish and then we'll do questions.
I just want a drum roll.
Yeah, like I said, it's quite exciting.
It is.
Yeah. So, you know, originally the installed capacity of our solar panels were estimated to offset 56% of our annual usage. Mm-hmm. I know that we had the best months first because it was installed in the late spring, summer, mm-hmm. but right now we're sitting significantly above 56%. Now by the end of the year, when you account for the winter months and whatnot, perhaps, you know, it will only be that 56%. But I would say, given these numbers and what we're seeing actually reflected in our bills or lack thereof, and this generation number, I think that we're going to be very pleased with how well they're performing and what a great project it was. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. My only question with it is, what does that equate to in dollars?
Right. So I don't have that number specifically off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. However, we know that it costs us roughly 18 cents. So the cost of running those EV stations is approximately $425 for that 6 months. And then what we've generated in electricity is approximately $11,800. So, you know, a net of 11.2-ish in a
wonderful.
6 month period.
Wonderful. Wonderful in many ways.
Yeah.
CEO, do you want to say anything to that?
No.
Okay. Any questions, comments, Councillor Richardson?
Just a comment. My understanding is we're performing above projected. Numbers so far.
At minimum, we're performing as projected. Our system is set up that it essentially caps out. And the reason it caps out is not because we couldn't generate more solar, but because the actual electrical grid can't accept more of the energy that we were generating. So that is the maximum system that the designer thought could backfeed into the Nova Scotia Power electrical system while offsetting as much energy as possible of our building.
And that's unfortunate, it has that limitation, but it's great to hear that it is doing as projected, because so many times projections don't usually come through. So.
I was very, very pleased with the contractor on this job.
Yeah.
Very impressed and very pleased.
Exciting. Wonderful. Thank you for that information. Anything further on this item? And I'll just check to see if Councillor Cool had any questions or comments. No? Okay. We'll move on to Region 6 Solid Waste Resource Management Budget 2026-27.
So if you'll recall, in a meeting in December, Christine McClaire from Region 6 came and did a budget presentation on the R6 budget, talking to council about the various funding that comes through the waste programs and the expenses that are incurred by the operation of the R6 group. What this staff report is essentially a housekeeping to have council formally approve the budget that was presented to you at the meeting in December.
Thank you. There is a prepared motion if someone would like to make that. Deputy Warden?
To make it. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne approve the draft 2026-27 Region 6 Solid Waste Resource Management Budget as presented at the December 10th, 2025 Council meeting in the amount of $834,248, with Eastern Shelburne County's contribution being $10,344.16, which represents 6.99% of the municipal billing contribution.
Thank you. Is there a seconder?
I would second that.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion?
All is good value.
Yes. I was wondering about what we had paid last year. Is it
right.
about the same?
It's actually slightly more this year. However, it's less than the year prior.
Okay.
So last year was not quite $1,500 less, but the year prior to that was $300 more than it is this year. So that just depends on the breakdown of how much revenue they're expecting to get from programs
right.
and what they think their expenses are.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, this year, they're expecting a little less revenue, but they're also expecting to pay us a little bit less revenue, and therefore our expenses to contribute to all of that is you know, based on the 6.99%, it comes out to the amount that's in the report.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for that. Anything further on this matter? If not, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. And last, we'll move on to monthly building report, December 2025. Strong numbers there, I would say. I did have a question about the 2024-25 number, construction value for December, where it's showing just over $2 million. Was that like one major project, or were there multiple projects?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I did have a quick conversation with the building official,
mm-hmm.
and he believes that it was the number of permits, essentially. So if you'll look, there were 7 permits that month,
mm-hmm.
Versus this month, there's only 1. So if you take an average permit value of $300,000, because we have one at $300,000,
yes.
and you multiply that by 7, well, that almost identically equals your 2.1.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's reasonable to say that it was a combination of the 7 projects that were undertaken in that month.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you for that. Any other questions or comments on the monthly building report? Hearing none, we'll move on to correspondence, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Attorney General and Minister of Justice response letter, and that was in response to our letter that we had sent back in September, and I believe this is something that has been in the news, and again, this is for information purposes, but you know, justice and all that entails has been in the news in the last couple of months, and some of the actions that are being taken on that. So it's nice to have that response from the minister, and looking forward to seeing those changes that are desperately needed in our justice system. Any questions or comments on that letter? Councillor Richardson?
Just maybe a comment in presentations we had from the RCMP saying, have patience. You know, we're building on it, which is very frustrating to us, let alone the public. But I think if you take a holistic view of it through the province, we're seeing, you know, item after item being targeted to individuals. And I think it's eventually going to have a major effect, you know, whether it's permanent or not, but it looks like it is been a concerted effort throughout the province, not just us. So everybody is suffering the same problems we are, but it's good to see that we're finally getting some results that are in the public.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note too the advocacy role of the municipality in issues such as this. And I do believe that it makes a difference to send those letters. I know sometimes we question that, but you know, I think it's important that we continue to advocate the way that we do for, you know, issues such as justice, healthcare, and other matters that are very important to our community.
Well, and to that point, if I may, it probably is giving them ammunition to go to the above to get the funding and the expertise to deal with it.
We're all in this together, for sure. Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Warden, to your point on the advocacy letters and the importance of it, I know that there's, I mean, I don't know if we can even track how many residents come to our website to look at that and to review those advocacy letters, but it's, I'm assuming that this one also will join that file.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, moving on to committee reports and warden update. Are there any committee reports to discuss this evening or bring forward? Deputy Warden?
So our events committee met on Monday evening, and the dates for the upcoming year have been released. So the Easter egg hunt is April the 3rd, mm-hmm. Dock Street Days, July 17th to the 19th, Pumpkin Festival and Regatta on October the 10th, and Maryville and Dock Street December 5th. So we feel that all the ones this past year were very successful. Mm-hmm. We have a few concerns and suggestions that were brought forward that this event is, the event committee is discussing. So so it's been really good. We have a little mighty team that has worked very well together. So the arena met after that meeting, and the canteen had purchased a POS system for dealing with orders coming in and being able to accept debit transactions, which was a huge success. So it more than paid for itself the first two functions that were had. The increased ice time was roughly about $2,000 for the month of December. So they've seen an increase in ice time. And the arena was nominated to be recognized as a society or association of the year for 2025 through the CBDC Association of Atlantic Provinces. So,
excellent. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Councillor Thorburn, so just we attended the Economic Growth Committee yesterday in Bridgetown.
In Bridgetown, it was excellent. And, geez, I thought there was something else. I'm going to do a little bit better with my record keeping. That's it.
Okay, thank you for that. Anything further, Councillor Richardson?
Yes, did attend the economic development one in Bridgetown yesterday and also partial one today, along with doing the audit committee this morning.
Okay, thank you for that. So so this is our first regular council meeting of 2026 with the municipal office reopening on January 5th. Yes. January 8th, we had the Shelburne County Regional Emergency Management Organization Advisory Committee, and discussion centered around our bylaw and budget considerations for 2026-27. That evening, there was an Economic Growth Committee meeting held to discuss topics that could arise during the planned economic growth events that were held on January 13th and 14th, as noted, as well as a review of a time-sensitive in-camera item. And this past Monday, the Shelburne and Area Community Economic Development Society met. And for now, the group will meet quarterly. And in the meantime, they are looking to recruit new members to that committee as well. So as mentioned, the two economic growth events took place last evening at the Black Loyalist Heritage Center and this morning here at the office. And residents were asked to share their ideas, concerns, and hopes for Shelburne, specifically regarding the Highway 103 property, but also other municipally owned properties, so that when the opportunities arise, we're going to be ready for the right ones. And I have to say, I was really inspired by the conversation both last evening and this morning. You know, there wasn't a huge number of residents attending, but the conversation was fantastic. It was very open, very candid, and, you know, the feel both last evening and this morning was one of really wanting to help and to see the municipality grow and prosper. So it was very inspiring for me and I think from other council members and staff. And with that, for those who could not attend those events, you can still fill out our Economic Development Community Survey online, or you can pick up a copy from the office here, or we can mail a copy out as well. And the survey will close at 4 p.m. on February 13th. And as Councillor Richardson mentioned, we did have an audit committee meeting this morning as well. Okay, Councillor
Thorburn Irvine. Speaking with a consultant last night, she did indicate that the survey that you just mentioned, of course, is for the public, but that there was going to be a survey for councillors as well. That's what she'd said. I don't know that I've seen it yet, but.
Okay,
yeah.
I think that's in process.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We should be seeing something soon on that.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. Anything further before I ask for a motion to go in camera at 6:56 p.m.?
I so move.
Thank you. Seconder?
I'll second it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Alrighty, so we need to, from here, we need to make a motion to go to come out of the camera at 7:29.
So moved.
Thank you. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. We are now in regular session, and we will adjourn our meeting at 7:29 p.m.